T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Albert, how's it going, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. We're hanging in there. We're doing better than Robert Kraft, right, Albert?
Yeah, I'd say we all are, which is probably a pretty rare thing.
Yeah, that's no kidding. True. Guy's got $6.6 billion. Yeah, I'd still rather be Robert Kraft.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, I'd take the embarrassment. He has a lot of good days. He's just had a couple bad ones this week.
He'll be fine. 6.6 yeah. billion reasons why he'll be just fine tomorrow.
Yeah, I think people who don't think money solves things probably haven't had money.
Not that much money, that's for sure.
It doesn't solve everything, but it solves a lot of things.
There's
no doubt about that. And I don't know. I mean, listen, in the end, we got to see how this plays out, because obviously there's a part of this investigation doesn't appear to be connected to Kraft is human trafficking. And obviously that's a much bigger deal, Albert, than just, you know, solicitation. But if all this is just solicitation, we don't know what he knew or what he didn't know.
Right.
Is there going to be much of a penalty from the league?
I think there will be. You know, I just, the way I look at this, you know, I go back to the player penalties and really going back all the way to Michael Vick, you know, and Ben Roethlisberger, which is, I think, roughly 10 years ago now, a little bit more than that. You know, one thing that the commissioner has been clear about is that you know, anything that they do to bring embarrassment upon the league, he can punish you for. It doesn't mean you get convicted. It really doesn't have all that much to do with, you know, with what the courts say. It's, have you brought, you know, have you sort of shed a bad light on the NFL? And I think this is certainly something that would fall into that category. And so then I think you look back at, like, the past penalties, right? Like, when owners have gotten in trouble in the past. Two most recent ones are Richardson and Irsay. This one probably lines up a little bit closer to Irsay, just because in the Richardson case, it involved the workplace. So you weren't talking about one NFL employee. You were talking about dozens and dozens and dozens of them. You know, with Irsay, it was more of a personal thing. In this case, it's more of a personal thing. And so, you know, Irsay got 6 games and $500,000. I would think it will be something around there. You know, and it's a $500,000 fine is the max that they can fine anybody. And then 6 games is, you know, basically the same suspension that somebody would get in a domestic violence case. Obviously, owners are held to a higher standard. And then, of course, the collateral damages that this thing would get new life in week one, when they raise the banner, he's not there, and could, of course, affect his ability to get in the Hall of Fame, which I would tell you, I think he was probably before this next in line among owners to go in after Pat Bowlen is in the summer.
So we don't think they're going to lose all their 12 draft picks like Bart Scott said, right?
No. I mean, I think one thing you want to look at with the draft pick thing, right? Generally, draft picks are only taken away for competitive violation. And that's why, like in the case of Deflategate, in the case of Spygate, you know, the league moved to do that because, you know, those were, you know, penalties those were violations that, whether you think you did it or not, like, you know, play to the competitive balance of the league. And so, you know, you punish them with something that takes away their ability to compete at some level. This obviously doesn't fall into that category.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, you know, when you look at the competition committee talking, I know just a few minutes ago, Rich McKay talked about the PI penalty and this, you know, the Saints, the NFC Championship game has been a big deal. Do you think in the end they're going to do nothing about what happened there and make any changes, or will there be some action taken on that?
I mean, listening to the tone coming out of this room now, I would have told you 2 hours ago that I think there will be changes and that they will make more plays reviewable, maybe make penalties reviewable, which would include pass interference. But listening to the tone coming out of that room, man, like it did not sound like momentum was building in that direction. Now, one thing you got to remember, the competition committee is
you know, a small number of people. There are only a couple of owners in there, Stephen Jones, John Mara. You know, there are people who won't be voting or wouldn't have a voting say in this. And so the competition committee is just one kind of window into how the league's thinking. But the competition committee, you know, will make a recommendation whenever they put a rule in front of the owners. And if they recommend against it, then that could certainly, you know, it could certainly influence owners. And one thing that Stephen Jones said that I thought was interesting was, you know, he said that there are some people that are still staunchly against replay in general. And so those people obviously would be in the category of not even thinking about voting for it. So it sounds like it's going to be a little tougher than maybe any of us thought before to get some change enacted. That said, I do know there are some people that are pretty strongly on the other side of this too and do want to see significant change. And I happen to be on that side of the argument too. I just think if we have the technology
use
to get things right, we should use the technology to get things right at every level that we possibly can.
You know, Albert Breer, MQB. Albert, you mentioned Stephen Jones there, and I don't know why, but every time I hear him talk, I get agitated. I mean, I get agitated about a lot of things, but like, you know, the Joneses made a big deal about how if Jason Garrett were fired, that a bunch of teams would hire him. And I think you agreed, and maybe that's true. But now today, he's saying, well, everybody's back's against the wall, insinuating that maybe he could get fired at the end of the year. Did Jerry and Stephen Jones, are they truly qualified to be? I mean, obviously they're billionaires, and billionaires generally think they know everything, and everybody else is an idiot. But are they qualified to actually run a football team from a GM standpoint at all?
I don't know. I mean, I understand what you're saying. They've taken a lot of criticism for that. There's no question they're, and I think you'd agree with this, Bull. Like, they're top of the league as far as, you know, their ability to market the team.
No doubt. 100%.
And run the business. And
yes.
All that. They're top
yes.
of the NFL.
Yes.
Agreed. From a football standpoint, I actually don't think they've done that bad a job the last few years. I mean, you look at the young talent on that roster, and part of their issue right now is they've got too many young guys to pay. You know, whether it's Dak or Zeke or Amari Cooper or DeMarcus Lawrence or Byron Jones. And then, you know, guys who are even younger than that, guys like Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch. I look at that roster. I think it's a pretty good roster, guys. And now you can argue whether or not Jason Garrett's gotten too much rope. I mean, that's, you know, obviously something that they're contemplating. Otherwise, they wouldn't let him go into a contract year this way. But, I mean, I don't know. I look at that team, and I see a lot of good young talent there. They were able to, you know, get rid of Dez Bryant and still make the playoffs. They made the playoffs two of the last 3 years and really rebuilt the team. It looks very, very different than it did 4 or 5 years ago, and they've done that successfully. And so, you know, I understand, like, that those guys, you know, Jerry and Steven, you know, didn't come up as scouts and all of that. But I do know they've got good scouts in that building, guys like Will McClay. And at least on the surface, it looks to me like they've built a pretty good team with a lot of young talent on it.
Albert, what do you think Antonio Brown's going to go for? Like, what will be the compensation?
I know what the Steelers think that they should get, which is at least a one. They've run comps on this, Dustin. And, you know, for one reason or another, and not saying it's the right price, but for one reason or another, the receivers that have been traded the last few years have brought one first-round picks in return. Amari Cooper brought a first-round pick in return. Brandon Cooks brought two first-round picks in return if you add it up. Like, you got traded for a one two off-seasons ago and then a one again last off-season. And I think it's pretty easy to make the argument that Antonio Brown is a better player than either of those guys. He's a little older, but he's also under contract for the next 3 years. And so, you know, I know the Steelers right now are resolved not to give him away. I know they feel like they should get a one. I don't think that that's the floor for what they would be willing to trade him for. But I also don't think we're going to turn around in a month and see him traded for a four or a five either. And so this is a little bit of a complicated situation just because of who he is. And everything that he brings to the table, both good and bad, I think the number of teams that can really absorb him is limited. And, you know, so then you're talking about, okay, how many teams are actually going to be interested to at all? And then how many teams are interested at the Steelers' price? And so it's just complicated. You got a lot of moving parts. And the other thing is, if he wants his contract revised, well, then you're throwing something else into the mix. So maybe the contract isn't the same commodity that it looks like it is on paper right now. It's just, it's complicated. And, you know, they've got a lot of work to do in finding their price. I don't think it's going to be easy to move them, but I do know that they feel like they should get a significant return.
Albert Breer, MMQB, with us. Albert, Greg Robinson re-signs with the Browns, 1 year, $7 million, could be up to $9 million with incentives. It is only a one-year deal. He didn't give up any sacks when he became the starter, but he had a ton of penalties. I think he had 10 penalties on him in the last seven games. Pro Football Focus graded him in the mid-60s out of 80 offensive linemen. Take that for however you take it. Are the Browns looking, even though it's a one-year deal, at Greg Robinson as the answer at left tackle, or are they still, would they still consider addressing the position via the draft?
You know, I think they're in a good spot in that they can do a number of different things. Obviously, like David Harrison showed some promise last year, and I know it wasn't perfect. You know, obviously it wasn't perfect, but you know, you've got him, you've got Greg Robinson in there now for another year, and you know, he has athletic ability. You know, for whatever it's worth anymore, he was a second round in the second pick in the draft for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think, you know, in an environment where Nate Solder, who's probably like somewhere between the 10th and 20th best left tackle in football, got $15 million a year on the free agent market, I don't hate the idea of just throwing like a bunch of darts at the position and trying to make it work on the fly without really, really splurging on someone. You know, it's just, it's hard to find offensive linemen in general now. And it's expensive when one does get to the market. Like, you guys watch how much Trent Brown, the Patriots left tackle, gets when he goes to the market in a few weeks. So look, I mean, I think Greg Robinson still, to me, you know, sort of a band-aid. You've got a young player you're developing behind him, you know, and then I don't think there are any great left tackles in this year's draft class, but, you know, you could draft somebody who has played multiple positions and maybe that guy becomes your left tackle. Plus, you've got Corbett, too, on the roster who does have experience at that position. And so the way I look at it, the Browns are just sort of throwing multiple darts at the problem and hoping one lands, which, you know, to me, I don't think is that much worse of an answer than overspending for a guy in the veteran market.
Albert, you know, Arizona's sitting at number one here in this draft, and it seems like everyone's, you know, saying that there's no chance that they would draft Kyler Murray at one because they've already got Josh Rosen.
Oh, I'm not saying that.
No, I'm not saying you're saying that, but it seems like, you know, I've asked a couple of draft analysts the last couple of days, and there's some consensus on Twitter that there's no way because the previous general manager drafted Rosen. It's not Kingsbury's pick. And go ahead. I still think that could be in play.
I would not rule it out. You know, I talked to Lincoln Riley last week, and Lincoln is, you know, pretty honest about this stuff. He played college football. Like, he was in the position group home with Cliff Kingsbury. He coached against Cliff Kingsbury the last 4 years. So he knows what Cliff Kingsbury's offense looks like. They both come from the Mike Leach system, and he coached, obviously, Kyler Murray over the last 3 years and started him last year. And he said to me without hesitation that Kyler Murray is absolutely, without question, a great fit for what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do offensively. And so I think the question becomes, you know, he's got to say what he's saying now about Josh Rosen. But what does he really think of Josh Rosen? And if he really believes that Kyler Murray is a transcendent talent, and I'm not saying he is or isn't, but if he thinks that, then, I mean, I think you almost have to consider it. You know, if you're all in on Cliff Kingsbury and you rolled the dice the way the Cardinals rolled the dice in this guy, I don't know. I don't know how you wouldn't consider it if the coach really feels strongly about that player and thinks that player is able to run his system at a level that maybe other players can't.
We're talking with Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. If they did trade Josh Rosen, where would he go? Giants? I mean, Jaguars? Yeah. And are they getting a first round pick back?
I mean, how about you trade him to Pittsburgh for Antonio Brown? I think it could be a team like that, though. You know, I think it could be a team like, and I'm not saying
Patriots, Albert. Patriots.
I'm not saying Pittsburgh, but it could be a team with an older quarterback.
Yeah,
like looking for a solution. Like, we're not drafting high enough to find a successor to our guy. So what do we do? And it could be a way to solve that problem for a team like the Patriots, a team like the Chargers, a team like the Giants, a team like the Giants are a bad example because they got the sixth pick this year.
Yeah.
But one of those teams that's got an older quarterback in their roster and has been maybe looking for a year or two and hasn't found the guy, and, you know, they say to themselves, this guy's on a rookie contract. We can get him for a decent price, maybe a low one or a second-round pick, whatever it is, and we can bring him in here and we can let him sit and he can sit behind our guy and it won't cost us that much. I mean, to me, like, that would be the one, and we're going way down the line because I'm not saying they're trading Josh Rosen. I have no reason not to believe Cliff Kingsbury when he says Josh Rosen's our guy, even though that's what he has to say. But I do think that there'd be suitors out there, and I do think it would be an interesting solution for a team that has got an established starting quarterback that is getting older, that's maybe in the back end of his 30s, where they're looking for the next guy and have to be creative about it.
All right, so if Arizona does not take Kyler Murray or Haskins or a quarterback, right, at one, yep. Do they pick at one or do they trade out?
I think it depends on how hot the quarterbacks get. Mm-hmm. So everybody I've talked to says this group isn't as good as last year's group. Like, that Baker and Darnold and Rosen are better prospects. Most people feel this way. They're better prospects than, like, Haskins or Murray are, right? And I remember hearing the same sort of stuff 3 years ago, right? Like before the combine, I remember hearing that sort of stuff. Like, Jared Goff's okay, Carson Wentz is okay, but they're not Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston. That's what everyone was saying in January of 2016. 2 months later, like, both those guys, not only were they going 1-2, but teams were making massive moves up the board to get them. And, 3 years later, those guys are better than Winston and Mariota, right?
Yep.
So I've sort of learned not to rule anything out, and things can change in this process. And, everybody's out there playing poker, and if somebody likes one of these guys enough and gets wind that two or three other teams like these guys enough, things can change really, really quickly. So I think in Arizona, certainly the Jets, because they don't have their second-round pick. They traded as part of the Darnold deal, the Niners. I think those teams at the top would be very, very willing to look at the idea of trading out, especially because those teams, I think, will be taking pass rushers up there, right? Your Josh Allen, your Nick Bosa, your Quinnen Williams. Well, this year's draft, there are a ton of pass rushers. He might not have the same level of player, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 picks down the line, but you may be able to get a really, really good player who's not a great player like a Bosa or Williams or an Allen, and then stock up on draft picks where you'll be able to fill out your roster a little later on. And so I would not rule out the idea that one or two of the quarterbacks, I don't think it'd be anybody but Murray or Haskins, but maybe one or the other or both, they get hot, and now all of a sudden there's a market for the first or second or third pick, and those teams there at the top have a chance to turn one pick into a whole bunch of picks.
Albert, last thing, Odell Beckham Jr. won't go away. The rumors about him possibly being traded, the league year starts in a couple of weeks. I think, especially when you went and signed Kareem Hunt, if the Browns somehow got Odell Beckham, their offense would be unstoppable. I think the Browns should do whatever it takes to get him if he's available.
Yeah.
Is he truly available? Will the Browns be in the mix to get him?
I don't think the Giants are going to shop him.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to be aggressive about this. I do think that they would listen. I do think that if you look at it, and just listen to John Mara on this, okay? Like, I think they spent the last 2 years trying to chase what happened in 2016, right? Like, they were remarkably healthy that year. A lot of things went their way. They made it to the playoffs, right? And I think for about a year and a half, they were really chasing that, like thinking they were closer than they were. And John Mara, in the middle of last year, finally conceded we're a little further off than we thought we were. And so I do think that they're of a mind to sort of retool everything right now. And if they're going to get younger and maybe bring in a young quarterback, like, there's two benefits to trading Beckham. One, Beckham might not be the best influence on young guys coming onto the roster if you are going to sort of rebuild everything. And two, if you're going young, you're going to have a lot of holes to fill. And so, being able to get draft capital back might make some sense. So I don't think they're going to aggressively try to move him. I don't think they're going to shop him around. But I certainly think they'd be all ears if a team came with a blockbuster offer. And the interesting thing about this is, he's really not that expensive from a contract standpoint. Like, I think it's it's 72 over the next 5 years, which is less than, I think that's the number. It's 82 over the next 5 years, which goes down after this year to 15 per over the last 4 years of the deal, which I would tell you is probably going to look like a bargain.
Yep.
When you get to the end of that contract. And so, The Giants have a piece that they can move. He's still really young. He's still really good, all that. And, you know, I think that you can actually look at this from a Giants perspective and come up with logical reasons why it might make sense to move him.
Albert, we appreciate the time as always, man. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, guys.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.